October is National Bully Awareness Month. And joining me in the studio now is Erica Boffman, Director of School-Based Services for Washington County with Ozark Guidance Center. Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for joining me.
Yes.
You're joining me today because you have a panel coming up on cyberbullying.
Yes. This on Tuesday, October 16th from 6:30 to 8:30. We're going to be having a cyberbullying panel discussion at Holt Middle School. It's put on by the League of Women Voters of Washington County, and I was brought in as somebody who was identified to help bring some information about cyberbullying. I've done some presentations at the state level on cyberbullying, and with school-based services, we see a lot of impact in terms of clients that we serve who have either been a victim, bully, or bystander to cyberbullying.
Cyberbullying.
Mm-hmm.
It's bullying. It's not just Facebook.
Right. It's considered any form of bullying that takes place with technology. So texting, anything on social media, emailing, anything that requires some sort of technology, sending pictures that are either inappropriate or maybe are embarrassing for someone, just using some form of social media technology to bully someone else.
Is there a certain age group that you see this with more?
Bullying in general tends to peak in the middle school ages, but with cyberbullying, it just extends to all levels that I think even adults that have Facebook pages, you probably see things like cyberbullying going on. What's happened with all the technology is that what somebody may not do face-to-face to someone else, they do over these forms of social media or in texting, things that they would have never said to someone's face, they're now putting on a Facebook status, not thinking about the impact that that might have on someone else. And when you think about kids and teenagers, cognitively, they're not where they need to be in terms of reasoning that adults have. And so the steps that they should take to consider all the consequences of what may happen when they put things on Facebook, say, or Twitter, they don't think about all those consequences. And so they, beyond just cyberbullying, they may just put things on there that are embarrassing that when they're 30, they're going to wish they hadn't had put on their Facebook page.
What kind of things are we talking about?
Well, you see a wide range of things. I think you see very maybe minor type of issues of somebody. Facebook is a great example because so many people have familiarity with that. So somebody may post a rude comment about someone on Facebook in a status, and then other people may like that status. And then that just adds to the impact on the person who was the target of that. You see more extreme things like people setting up Facebook fan pages that are, you know, against a person. Again, just conversations that may have happened between kids in a play yard or things like that or in the halls at school are now just extending to all these different places. So what you might see, too, is think about the rivalries we have between schools. So two schools may have a football game against each other, and rather than just comments that go back and forth at the games, they may be taking that to Twitter and to Facebook or those type of medias and making comments towards each other on it, and it just continues to go further and further at times.
It's a lot different than when I was in school.
Yes. What I tend to say when I do these trainings is we think about teenagers are making the same mistakes that all teenagers have been making for years that we all made as teenagers and that since the beginning of time, because that's part of that learning process and finding their identity. Just now there's proof of what they did. There's social media. There's pictures on the internet of things that they do. And so when you take it then to things like bullying, it just can get just more out of control. The other thing that makes it so challenging is that when cyberbullying didn't exist, if a kid was targeted at school, they could go home and that was maybe a safe place for them where it stopped. Now the bullying can continue all the time.
Parental controls, like on computers, I mean, is that something that
I think
parents...
that's an important thing to know. I think anyone who has kids and teenagers know that they are much smarter than we are on anything that is technology-based, and that will always be the case. So I've worked with teenagers through a lot of my career as a therapist, and it always amazed me the firewalls that they're able to get through. And so I think you have to do more than just do that. I think that's a great thing. you used to say things like, make sure the computer is in a public area within your house so then you can see what's going on. Well, now with smartphones, they carry the computer with them. And so a lot of what we talk about with cyberbullying is just also safety in terms of internet and decision making. So it's important to always know what your kids are doing on the computer and with their texting, just to check on that, to have the conversations about what's appropriate, what's not. If you see things that maybe they shouldn't be doing, if they're commenting on something, to just bring that to their attention. I think about maybe a teenager who says something like, the boy next to me smells in class, and they put that as their status update. That probably doesn't even occur to them that that's targeting that person, that people know who you're identifying even without using the name, and how that might be hurtful. So if a parent sees something like that, they really want to take their child aside and talk about that, and talk about how that was maybe not a nice thing to say and do, even though they maybe didn't think about the extent. Because if they had said that to their best friend, maybe it wouldn't have gone anywhere else. But when you put it out there, it really is putting it out there for the world to see.
Right.
And then you think about that kid that you said that about, and then if 50 people like it, then now all of a sudden they've been targeted by 51 people.
You mentioned just talking to your kids. I mean, it kind of sounds like the good old golden rule. Just making sure that kids understand that.
Unto
others. Yeah.
Exactly. And talking about it. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Sitting them down, talking about it, discussing it with them, helping them with that reasoning, and just addressing it. I think what happens is we don't tend to address things like we should and just really come out and say, let's sit, let's talk about this. These are the tough conversations to have as parents. You know, teenagers don't want to listen to their parents on much things at that age. And sometimes we just have to do that and just sit down and talk with them about the dangers. And again, not just with cyberbullying, but also just with their safety on the internet, and making sure, let's look at your friends on Facebook. How do you know these people?
Well, let's talk about consequences.
What happens with the schools is it becomes very difficult on where is the line between where the school can act on something and where they can't. And typically, schools most often say if it bleeds over into the school day, then that needs to be something they address. But definitely if you're making threats to someone, those are things that now are in writing. So if it's something that's considered harassment or terroristic threatening and things like that, now you have proof of that. And so there are going to be consequences. Sending a picture of someone who, you know, teenagers don't think about, if my 14-year-old girlfriend sends me a picture of herself that's inappropriate and I pass that along, that's engaging in child pornography. And so there's cases where people have been charged with that. So it's just really making smart decisions and understanding the consequences of your behaviors.
What are age limits these days for Facebook? And isn't there a website called My Yearbook? And
there's so many different ones. They all have different setups. I believe now with Facebook it's 16, but I'm not 100% sure on what the age limit is. But what typically happens is that people just lie about their age. I hear parents say a lot that they know that their child has a Facebook page and they're under the age limit, but rather than fill out all the paperwork that it takes to approve it, they just allow them to make their age older, and then they hide the year. So it's not showing to people that they're 20, but they've set it up so that they're 20. That way they don't have to go through all of that paperwork. So it's easy to get around those things, even though I do think that the social media has really responded by trying to have things better controlled by parents. But parents are oftentimes making that decision to say, just do it on your own. Or what I see a lot is that maybe the parent is not allowing a Facebook page, but that doesn't mean that the child doesn't have one.
Mm-hmm. Who else will be joining you during this panel discussion on Tuesday?
I know that we will be having a representative from Cox Communications to talk about that, someone from the police department to talk about the safeties there, and then I'm not a school counselor as well was going to be identified to come and talk, just to provide some different perspectives of who all will be there and to help parents and teachers understand the different aspects of it.
Okay. All right. Well, that's 6:30 at Holt Middle School in Fayetteville on Tuesday, the 16th.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Erica.
Thank you.